kind of smacked yourself in the head and said, "What was I thinking?" Have you ever had one of those moments in your life where you just begin to have second thoughts about the things that you've done? And I'm sure that you have, we all have, and the title of this evening's lesson is just that, Second Thoughts. And if you see down below that, there's a subtitle to that, It's Better to Be Safe Than Sorry. And really, what I'm trying to express here today is that what Paul was talking to the church at Corinth about is examining ourselves. And the concept, the idiom that we use, it's better to be safe than sorry, it's not a concept necessarily that's found within the Scriptures just like that, but there are individuals that we can look at in the Scripture that have rethought some of the things that they originally planned to do. They have examined themselves and they've changed the course, changed their course of action. And we're going to look at some of them this evening. And so, as we think about our lesson objectives this tonight, and I don't always necessarily put these right up front. I think sometimes you can figure them out in the lessons as we go along. But we're just going to state these right off the bat, that we're going to try to examine our conclusions. And basically, you see at the bottom of the screen, we're going to think. That's what Paul was challenging the church at Corinth to do. He said, think about your condition. Think about whether or not you are in Christ. You know, you should know whether or not you are in Christ. And then on top of that, we want to understand that in some cases, it's really good for us to have those second thoughts. To sit there, I may not be able to get my words out of my mouth tonight. I don't know. It's better for us sometimes, instead of just being impulsive, to sit back and reflect upon the things that we've decided to do and weigh them in the balance to make sure that what we're considering is a proper course of action. And in many cases, what we do is we just simply act or react before we think things through. And so we want to think. There are several men in Scripture, and several examples in Scriptures where individuals said one thing and eventually did something else. And I believe that in each one of those cases, they were, instead of being just simply better safe than sorry, they were making the proper decisions because they had these second thoughts. So we're going to examine, we're going to look at some of these individuals tonight. We're going to look at some of them, and yet after seriously examining their situation and the evidence set before them, you look at them and you're going to say, hopefully you're going to say, I see what Brian's saying. They did have second thoughts. They were trying to be safe and not sorry with their decision-making process. I want to begin by looking at an individual that we're pretty familiar with. And you might think of him, we call him the prodigal son in Scripture. And we look at him in Luke chapter 15 and we see how he wanted to live. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15. Because we're going to look at verses 17 through 20 here in just a moment. But leading up to that particular passage, you see what has taken place in the mind of this individual. He wanted to live it up, you might say, on the wild side. I heard one person describe it this way, is he decided he wanted to visit Sin City. And ultimately, that's what he did. And he visited a town where he could just live it up where he went. And he, as the Scripture describes it, he engaged in prodigal living. He led a life that was full of sin. And in the process of, after asking for the inheritance that he had asked from his father, he squandered it away on that prodigal living. He lost everything. And what I want to suggest here too in this process is that because of what happened to him, and I want you to begin looking at verse 14 with me. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into these fields to feed swine. and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. What happened to this young man? He reached a point in his life that we might say he just fell on hard times. I want to suggest he was already on hard time, falling on hard times before he reached this point. He just didn't know it yet. This is when that came to him that there's got to be something better. But what he had to experience and what many people have to experience in their own lives is sometimes we have to suffer the consequences of our own decisions before we can make correct decisions, before we correct them. Some people might say he went to the school of hard knocks, and he did. He suffered for the decisions that he made, but when you begin looking at verse 17, you see the thought process, you see the second thoughts in his mind begin to develop. Because it says, but when he came to himself, and let me suggest right there, sometimes it requires a good swift kick to the seat of our pants in order for us to come to ourselves. We need to have that slap in the face sometimes that wakes us up. Life will do that to us. It did it to this young man. And you look at what happened here, he said, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And here's his second thought. After examining himself, examining his conduct, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And verse 20 then says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. We know the outcome of this story. And I'll let you finish reading it. I'm not going to talk about the father's mercy or grace and things like that. I'm not going to talk about the brother's reaction. Because what we need to see, and what I want us to center our thoughts on, is the process that he went through to come to his conclusion. I said this in this morning's lesson, sometimes an individual needs to be told that they need salvation. Sometimes they need to hear the words that you're living in sin. I don't know that anybody came up to this man and told him. What this suggests to me is what the father had taught him before he decided to go off on his own. There is that sense to me of the proverb writer saying, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a sense that the father had done everything necessary to bring his son upright. His son just made the choices that he made. And that prodigal living wasn't what it was all cracked up to be. And this young man, when he came to himself, decided that it would be better to go home. And I look at that and I see how he wanted to do what was right. So he acknowledged his error before his father. It was a sign of repentance on his part that he did that. And when you look at verses 21 through 24, you see the father was willing to forgive. Second thoughts are not bad thoughts sometimes. I've been told quite often, you know, you take a test or you've been given a decision that you need to make. They always say, think long, think wrong. And I don't believe that that's true. Sometimes your first instinct is the right answer. But that's not always the case. And so sometimes we need to sit down and re-examine. And that's what this young man did. He examined himself. And he knew that the better place for him was in his father's house. The world, if they would only come to the same conclusion, don't you think it would be a much more peaceful place? Now, I'm not saying that 100% of the world is going to do that, but just even a smaller number of people realizing that, yes, we're living in sin and we need to come to the Father. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, we learn a lesson from a parable of two sons. And one of them we describe as a rebellious son. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 28. Jesus says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" That doesn't sound anything unusual. Parents give children chores to do all the time, don't they? How many times have your children turned around and said what this man said? He answered and said, "I will," but afterward he regretted it. Or he said, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it and went. How many times have we seen children say no to the parent, regret it later? How many times have can we examine certain aspects of our own lives where we have said no, and we should have responded with a yes and gone and done what we know we should have done? Now, this is one of those instances, I believe, where the son knew better and thought of his response to his father. You know, I don't know what was wrong on that particular day. You can imagine. It's a parable. But Cindy's always telling me stories about kids at school. And there's always these children that are disturbed and something is just, you know, they're acting out some way. And it's not just because the child is a necessarily rebellious child. Sometimes it's because he's truly having a bad day. And you have to find the root cause for that bad day before you can help them. I don't know what that was with this young man. I don't know what caused this son to say, "No, I'm not going to do it." Because you see, in the second part of this story, you see his brother saying that, "I will." And he didn't go. But I want you to consider this man right here, this first one. You look at him and you see some today have this very spirit in themselves. They outright refuse to be obedient to the will of the Lord. We mentioned this morning in the lesson that there are individuals in the world today that you cannot tell them what they need to do. They will buck, they will rebel. You can't tell them what to do. Nobody's going to tell them what to do, how to live their life. They're going to live it the way they want to. But you see individuals in Acts chapter 2 that said when they were told that they were in sin, they asked, "What must we do?" And Peter told them. About 3,000 souls were saved that day. But you keep looking at these individuals, this shows that it's never too late to re-examine yourself. And it's better to be safe than to be sorry. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, you have people that made their lives right with God. And you hear Peter saying, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Here's the thing. There are people out there who are willing to do this. There are tender-hearted people. There are people who are honest with themselves. And when it's pointed out to them that they need to examine their lives and make the correction, that will. Now, we're not told in the first two instances that anybody with the prodigal son and the rebellious son told them that they needed to change. Again, it's another instance where somebody thought better. And the second son didn't have to fall on hard times like the prodigal son did. But in this particular instance, when you look at them, times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord because of our second thoughts, because it can affect our eternal destiny. Then you have someone like the Apostle Paul. I would say that this was a man who who learned the hard way. This was a man that had to be told. Actually, when you get right down to it, you think about Paul as he was Saul. He was blinded to the truth. He was so zealous for what he thought was right that it didn't matter at that particular time that nobody could convince him. It didn't matter if he listened to Stephen preach there at the end of Stephen's sermon when the crowd got so upset. It was Saul that stood there consenting to his being stoned. They laid their coats at his feet. It was this same Saul in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, that received letters from the priest and was threatening the church. He had authority to put people to prison, even put them to death. And then it was that trip to Damascus where he had the encounter with the Savior. And he cries out, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, at that particular time, I don't believe he was calling Jesus Christ Lord of Lords. But he was recognizing someone in authority. But he was told to go into Damascus, wasn't he? And he would wait. And there would be someone that would come to him. And that would be Ananias. And so when you come to Acts chapter 19, or Acts chapter 9 rather, and verse 18, and you see the account there and the scales falling from the eyes of Saul, when his eyes were physically opened, his heart was opened. Ananias had taught him the truth. Ananias taught him the things that were going to be necessary, because immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And what did he do? He arose and was baptized. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Ananias says, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized." There was a command. Ananias told him. When someone loves you enough, or someone is concerned about you enough, and you have to realize Ananias was one of these individuals that was skeptical about Saul to begin with. He wasn't really sure about Saul and whether or not it was safe to be around him. It was the Lord that convinced him that he should go. There was faith and trust on his part that he would be safe. And I believe, even though these two men, it's not apparent that they had obviously met before, there was still something that they had in common. They both believed in God. Now, Paul, he wasn't where he needed to be just yet. But after he was taught, he examined what was said. He had some second thoughts about his life as a persecutor, didn't he? Because let me suggest this. If Paul had not decided to arise and be baptized, what do you think he would have continued to do? He would have continued persecuting the church. And this is one of those instances where the second thought, the self-examination of who he was, it was better to be on the Lord's side than to fight against him. It was better for Paul to become Paul, the Apostle Paul, than to remain Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the church. So when his heart was opened, he responded. Paul had second thoughts. And because of those second thoughts, we have a New Testament that is filled with his writings, filled with a man who changed because of someone pointing out his error, teaching him the truth, and his examining of himself and responding to that truth. He did so much good for the cause of Christ. You look, go to Acts chapter 26 for just a second. Acts chapter 26. I just want you to look at verse 29. This is Paul's reaction after he had taught Agrippa. And Agrippa didn't have any second thoughts. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. What did he mean by that? Instead of being a persecutor, Paul had become a child of God. He had become the persecuted. He said he just wished that everybody would become as he was, a child of God. His second thoughts brought him full circle from being the persecutor to the persecuted. But it brought him to a point where it was evident that he labored more abundantly than all. You think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10 when he talks about that. Paul survived. Paul became a benefit to the church in its early stages. And so when you see him writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and you hear him saying, you know what? I'm coming to you again. And if I come and you all still are acting up, we're going to have a little chat. I'm going to straighten you out whether you want to be straightened out or not. So you better examine your lives to see whether you're in Christ. Why could Paul say that? He'd been there. He'd done that. And he knew the benefits of change and having those second thoughts. The Apostle Peter. You might wonder, well, why are you talking about him? Well, we can learn from the impulsive disciple who loved the Lord. Do you ever doubt that Peter loved Jesus? I don't doubt that he loved Jesus. John chapter 13 and verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. He was willing to die at that particular point. That was before he denied him three times. But Peter sometimes reacted instead of thinking things through. We look at Peter as getting out of the boat, but it was a simple reaction to seeing the Savior, and he reacted to that and stepped out and then became distracted. But I will give him credit. He was the only one of the 12 that got out of the boat. I see Peter, you know, and I see many disciples of Christ today that are very much like him. We make mistakes because we're impulsive in the decision-making process, because we react instead of being proactive in our lives and in the lives of others. I see Peter was quick in Matthew chapter 26, verses 33 to 35. To deny the Lord three times. Even after Jesus had told him it's going to happen, Peter said, no, it's not. Peter made a mistake of denying Christ, but in fact, that third denial was probably the strongest of them all. But what happened to Peter? Because of his love for the Lord, I believe Peter repented. He went away, and how did he go away? He didn't just simply go away mad, and he didn't just simply go away. He went away realizing what he had done. There was sorrow on the part of Peter when he left. And after the resurrection, he got an opportunity to express his love. And I want us to look at John 21. And just listen to it. And I'm going to read it with a little emphasis here in the way I think Peter was responding, how I view Peter responding to Jesus. Beginning at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? This is Peter's response. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." I don't know that I can give you the sense of grieving that Peter might have gone through with that third response. But I can almost see tears starting to come down from his eyes. And I see a man realizing that, yes, I denied you three times. I'm expressing my love for you right now as sincerely as I possibly can express it to you. Jesus knew. But it didn't hurt to hear it. It didn't hurt for Peter to express it. And it didn't hurt for Peter to experience the emotion that he had to go through to say these things to him. Because I guarantee you, after he denied him three times, there were a lot of second thoughts. That instant in Peter's life where he said, "What was I thinking?" That was his moment right there when he denied the Lord. But having the opportunity to turn back to him and say, "I love you more than all of these." It was important for Peter. I think it was what brought Peter to the point that he ended up having the courage that he had. Didn't make him perfect, didn't mean that he was not going to make any more mistakes, because he made mistakes after he went to Cornelius' house, after he went to the Gentiles. He made mistakes and was confronted by Paul. But he was a better man. He was a better disciple of the Lord after this too. And every one of us, it is told through secular history that Peter gave his life for what he preached and believed in. That history records that he suffered a cruel death, the crucifixion. But he said he couldn't be crucified in the same manner as the Lord because he did not feel worthy, and therefore was crucified upside down. But he died for the Lord. So when you hear Peter say that he loved the Lord, and hear him say that, "I will lay down my life for your sake," historically, he did. Even after some second thoughts. Then you have a couple men, Naaman, in the Old Testament. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about him because I think we know the story. But you think about that. He comes to the prophet and he expects the prophet to tell him some great thing. He says, "I've got leprosy here. I need a cure." And if it hadn't been for a servant of his in his household to tell him about the prophet in Israel, he'd have never gone there. He might have had to think about that. Why would a Syrian want to go to Israel to receive a cure for this? He could have said, "I'm above that," but he went there. When the prophet told him to go dip seven times in the River Jordan, what happened? What was his initial reaction? It was anger. He went away angry because he thought it should have been something grander and more magnificent than that that he should have to do. Maybe he thought he should have to purchase the gift. Maybe he thought there's some great deed that he needed to do. But you know what? It was simple. The remedy for his leprosy and choosing the wrong way of getting rid of it at first, nothing happened for him, did it? Because he stomped off and went away mad, he still had leprosy.
But in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 13, we see that he had second thoughts. Naaman had a servant smart enough to come up to him and say, you know, if you had been told to do some great thing, you'd have done that. But you were told to do something simple. So, but you know, the rivers in Syria are so much better than the River Jordan. Why would I want to dip in? If you do it, what could happen? What's the worst thing that could happen to you? Come up out of the water, you still have leprosy. What's the best thing that can happen to you, Naaman? You come up out of the water after dipping seven times, and you've got skin as clean and pure, no longer infected, and you walk away healthy. You walk away healed. And so the action, after having second thoughts, benefited him because he received the healing that the prophet told him would take place. In many cases in individuals' lives, it would be good for each one of us to examine ourselves and have a second thought about our service to God. Are we truly examining ourselves to see whether or not we are in Christ? The only one that can answer that question is you. The evidence of it, the fruits of that are seen by people, but you know whether you're in the service of God or not. I know. It's not something that we can hide from Him. We know we may be trying to deceive ourselves, but when we're told by Scriptures that we need to do this, we need to listen to the Word. What's God's plan for us, as we talked about this morning from Hebrews chapter 13? To do His will. This was the will of the Father. Naaman didn't realize it at first, but after coming to a second conclusion and being better safe than sorry, he dipped seven times in the Jordan and he received his healing. Jonah is another man. Well, I've got Simon the Sorcerer up here, don't I? Did I skip Jonah on the screen? No. He's in my outline. He's just not on the screen then. We'll skip Jonah for right now. We'll go to Simon the Sorcerer. Y'all know what Jonah did anyway. He got eaten by a big fish, got vomited up on the ground. He didn't want to prophesy, but he had to have some second thoughts and some encouragement, and he went to Nineveh anyway. Simon the Sorcerer, what you do is you learn from a brother who sinned in this particular case. This is a man who wanted to purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit. He thought it could be purchased. And it was Peter in Acts chapter 8 that rebuked him, and listened to the rebuke in these verses 20 and 21. Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." I don't believe Peter was kind to Simon at this particular time, because he pulled no punches. He says, "Your heart is not right in the sight of God." This man didn't realize he sinned. And some, like I said, sometimes you got to have your cage rattled. And let me say, Simon the Sorcerer, his cage was being rattled right now. This is a man whose influence had diminished because of the apostles and their power. This is a man who had obeyed the gospel. And I can understand seeing the apostles and the power that they had and wanting to be able to do the same thing. I just don't understand why he thought he could purchase it. Other than that, he's still young as a child of God, and he hasn't matured to the point to understand that these are spiritual gifts, not physical gifts. But this led to Simon having second thoughts. And look at verse 23. Well, let's just finish reading verse 22 and then read verse 23. "Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." And then verse 24, after hearing these things, Simon responded this way. "Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me.'" He had some second thoughts. And despite his error, he reconsidered. And he decided to have somebody else pray for him. The prayers of the righteous avail much. I think it was a lesson learned for Simon. David is another one. We know what happened to him. He loved God and gave his all to the service of the Lord, yet still was able to go wrong in his own life. But it took a prophet to come to him and tell him, "You sinned." You think about the sin that he had with Bathsheba and how it was compounded by the sin of trying to cover it up. But then you turn to Psalm chapter 51 and you learn that he'd repented. You learn that David was a man that was full of sorrow, godly sorrow. And it brought about that repentance in his life. And I just want you to look at Psalm 51 and verse 3 with me. And you hear David. And here's part of the process that's required of every one of us. When we have these second thoughts, we must be motivated to fix what was wrong. It'd be one thing is to simply say, "Okay, I was wrong," and not do anything about it. But David said, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me." You look at verse 4, it says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." You go a little bit further over and you see how he asked God to create in him a new heart and not to turn his face from him. David was one who would eventually, as Peter would describe it in Acts chapter 13, was a man after God's, or Paul rather, would describe it. Luke wrote it, Paul stated it. That David was a man after my own heart who would do all of my will. Psalm 32 and verse 5, I think, kind of sums it up. "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." We need to have the heart of David when it comes to knowing the error that's in of our way so that we can fix it, so that we can confess it, so that we can repent of it and never repeat that same mistake again, so that it can be said of us, just like David, that we are people after God's own heart that want to do all of His will. One last example, Solomon. The wise man. Lesson from a wise man. We understand that we can misuse the wisdom that we have. Use it incorrectly. And that's exactly what Solomon did over the years, because even though it started out very early on, he used his wisdom for good for the children of Israel. That same wisdom would eventually lead him away, because he would marry foreign wives and he would go after foreign gods. He would make some unwise choices in how to pursue happiness in his life. He would make those decisions that we would think would eventually ruin an individual's life. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, in verse 10, he said it this way, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labors in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." I think Solomon had to learn a hard lesson. I'm positive Solomon learned hard lessons along the way. But he had second thoughts and understood that the pursuit of happiness the way he did was not the right way. The pursuit of other things was wrong. And this man of wisdom could see what was best for him. Just move down to verse 24 of chapter 2. Where it says, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This I also saw was from the hand of God. It's learning where your blessings come from. It's learning who is in control. And it brought Solomon to a conclusion that makes me believe that Solomon said it was better late than never. That it was better for him to be safe than sorry. That in his second thoughts, his conclusion was, it was the whole duty of man to fear God and keep His commandments. It was that duty that brought him full circle even in his life. From one who served God to one who disappointed God to one who could come back to Him. That's a lot of examples and a lot of different things we can look at, a lot of different applications that you can make from each one of these individuals. But I want you to understand, each and every time, people had to learn lessons. And whether they learned it because of someone else or whether they learned it on their own, the point is they examined their lives and they knew that they were not reconciled to God. They knew that they were not at peace with God. And so when we examine our lives, we can learn from the experiences of men who had second thoughts. But what will it take for you to do the same and turn to God? I want to suggest that in each case tonight, what they did, each one of these individuals did the will of the Father in heaven because of second thoughts, because of realizing that it's better to be safe than sorry. If you're here this evening and you're having these thoughts, examine yourself. Are you in the Lord? If not, then have a good second thought. Do like the prodigal. Come home to the Father. The song we're about to sing serves as a song of invitation. Do you trust Him? Will you obey Him? The invitation is yours. Will you come as together we stand and as we sing?
Word. What?